This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time to be taken on a journey on the DJ Mac Travel Show, only on Plains FM.
Welcome to the show. I'm Douglas Mack, and this is the DJ Mack Travel Show on Plains FM 96.9. Hello everyone and welcome to the show. Today's show is about the Bathurst 1000. Main sponsor of this event now is Super Cheap Autos, and so it's called the Bathurst 1000, or Super Cheap Autos Bathurst 1000. And it happens in the famous town on Mount Panorama in New South Wales of Bathurst, which is an interesting place in itself because the weather conditions out there are not probably what you would normally expect from an Australian sort of idea of what maybe us New Zealanders think of Australia. And my impression of Australia has always been as like a oven tray of dirt in the oven baking away, and it's hot and dry, and that is not actually the case of Western New South Wales, and has a bit of altitude, and you have road signs telling you to be aware of wintry conditions and snow. So, and ice and so forth. So the town of Bathurst, or the city of Bathurst, is a region on the central tablelands of New South Wales, Australia, and it's approximately 200 kilometres northwest of Sydney, and it's classed as the Bathurst Regional Council Area, or Bathurst City. And the city is comprises of approximately 35,000 people. And that was done at the census in 2016. So it is tableland, farmland, dairy, mixture of all types of farming. And it is in the moment in a period of drought. And when we were there, we actually did get some rain. And it was quite amazing just to see how the countryside greened up overnight. So the ground temperature was relatively warm. It was amazing. It was a sort of a change of watching the grass grow, literally, because it did green up overnight and during the day as this sort of drizzly sort of good rain happened while we were there. So Mount Panorama is the famous mountain at Bathurst. The track is now 80 years old, and it was actually commissioned or built by the city of Bathurst as a tourist attraction, 80 years ago. So what did we do, and what does the main points about Bathurst? So it is a famous race. It really started with Ford and Holden have been the main players in the Bathurst 1000, and a bit of a grudge match versus Ford versus Holden, and whichever sort of brand you enjoy is the one that you support. So we travelled on the Monday a week before, and we were there's a number of options that you can do with the whole how to get there. So we were independent. We had a group of two people with me that I was helping along the way. And so we arrived in Sydney and we picked up a car, and we then did a little bit of tripping around Sydney. So it's about 3.5 hours to Orange, where we're actually based about. So we'll talk a bit about Orange now as well. So Orange is approximately another 40 minutes to the west of Bathurst. And it's again, it's probably a city of approximately 45,000 people, from my understanding, and it's a very community sort of country area. And again, it snowed there this year 5 times over the winter period. It was very cold when we were there, In the mornings, it was around about 2 or 3 degrees in the morning, and then by the afternoon, it had sort of increased to about 18 degrees, and then overnight, the temperature dropped. So the town itself is relatively like Ashburton in size, and it's a good place to be based. Mainly, accommodation is the biggest issue around Bathurst, so a lot of people rebook from year to year, and so our accommodation was actually booked in 2016 when we first went there, and then we rebooked the same accommodation again for 2018. So just gives you an idea of the way the bookings go. Of course, you can go through a travel agent because a number of the hotels and motels around the whole area around Bathurst are sort of booked by the majority of the big travel agencies. So and they do a lot of tours, and so you can have a full package deal from New Zealand. Okay. Right, so we arrived on the Monday a week before. So we were away for 7 days for our whole tour, and we obviously arrived into Sydney in the afternoon, in the morning, sorry. And what we did was we picked up a rental car, and we decided, well, we weren't going to head out to Orange straight away because we wanted to have a little bit of a look around Sydney. And so what we did was we travelled across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and we headed to the Tooronga Zoo, which is on the north side of Sydney. You can get to the zoo from Circular Quay along the ferry system across the harbour, but we had a car, and so we decided, right, we will travel over to the zoo. And we spent the morning, arrived there just on 10 o'clock as it opened. We had to pay for parking, but we were there early enough, so it was in a parking building, which was about 3 stories high. So we managed to park the car under shade, which was excellent. So if it did get hot, our car wasn't going to start baking away. So we spent the morning there. We had some lunch there. It was all right, I guess. It seemed to be quite pricey for what we had, and didn't really, it just seemed to be mass-produced and wasn't, you know, it was lunch, but it wasn't fantastic. So if you can take a cut lunch or something, or picnic lunch, then do that. There was a number of people in the zoo area having a picnic lunch. So what we did was we walked down to the waterfront. So the Tooronga Zoo is on a hillside. We're at the top, and that's where the main entrance and all that sort of administration part of the site is. And then we walked our way down through the zoo, looking at different parts of the exhibits and animals of Australia and so forth, until we got down to the bottom where the ferry terminal is, and that's where the gondola system is, similar to what we've got here in Christchurch on the Port Hills, and then you basically gondola your way back up the up to the top again, and that's where we finished our day. So you can do it either way. If you're on the ferry, you can walk up through the zoo. You can't. You've got to actually do the gondola to the top to pay for, and then come back down again. So the gondola system is quite good because you can actually see a lot of the exhibits over the elephant enclosure and other parts of the zoo as you travel up the hill. So from there, we then decided that it was time to get moving to Orange, which was going to be about a 3-hour drive. And we decided that we would go north from there, and we travelled along the M1 motorway north of Sydney, and we headed up over towards over the Blue Mountains. And so we sort of went through, we didn't go through Lawson, we were on the north side of that, and we went through an area where the Blue Mountains Botanical Gardens are, and which brings you down into Lithgow, which we were on Highway B59. So it was quite a different drive. It wasn't double-laned. There were passing lanes and so forth along that way, but it wasn't. So if you got stuck behind a truck or a slower vehicle, you had to wait for the passing lane to come up, where the other highway to the south is has more double-laned and has got more passing ability, and you go over Mount Victoria, where we were more over by Mount Wilson. So, and it also, it's not such a tourist drive as such. So we arrived in Lithgow, which is basically an industrial-type town, or was an industrial-type town, on the west side of the Blue Mountains. And Yeah, it is within the commuter belt or such, if you want to call it that. It's a long way out of Sydney, of course, but there is a train service, electric train units come from downtown Sydney all the way out to Lithgow. So it's quite an interesting place. We spent about an hour there just looking around. There was a train excursion, a Garrett, a 1956 Garrett, was based there, doing a turnaround to head back to Sydney. So they'd done a train excursion, which is a big steam engine and that was used for freight operations in Australia. And there was also a lot of them sent, they were made in England, or assembled or produced, and then brought out to Australia and assembled in Australia. There was also a lot of those Garretts in South Africa. So they're quite a very big, powerful locomotive. So there's also another railway type, how would you describe it, heritage site, and it's called the Zigzag, which is at the moment it's going to be reopening in 2019. It was damaged by a bushfire last year, and while the bush has sort of recovered and the area has recovered, the line there, the railway line, is fairly old, and it had a lot of oil and the sleepers were tainted with a lot of oil and they burnt, and so a lot of the railway line has been burnt out. So they're in the process of redoing that. But that's a heritage site, so it's called the Zigzag. So keep an eye on that. Also, with excursion railway services or activities, the day that we arrived, it was a bank holiday or a holiday in Sydney. So that was why the excursion was happening. So definitely have a look around if you're interested in doing train trips about what's going on in Sydney at that time. So and trains as well, because there's quite an interesting history involving railways in Australia. So obviously we then travelled from Lithgow on the way to Bathurst. We went through Bathurst, but we didn't actually stop because we wanted to get ourselves organised in the motel. So and we got to Orange. So the Orange is, which was actually the birthplace of Banjo Paterson. Now, I remember part of this from when I was at school, because we studied The Man from Snowy River, but he was basically a bush poet. And so, there's a plaque in the middle of the town square and bits and pieces about activities and what he was up to in Orange. So like I said before, Orange is a town of around about 40 to 45,000 people. It's a service town. It has a lot of activities involved in around farming, and it's probably in relationship, like I said, similar to Ashburton. So it feels quite community-based, and it just feels comfortable. And so this is the second time I've stayed there. So we checked out the local pubs. There's an array of different eateries from Subway to McDonald's to KFC and right through to, classical Australian pubs where they're doing really great meals. So that was what we did the first day. And then the next day we decided to travel to Bathurst, which was about 40 minutes down the road. The weather was a little bit wet. It was cold and there was a few showers passing through. But so by this stage it's Tuesday, and the racing event basically starts on Thursday. And so if you are over there early enough, Bathurst or Mount Paramarama in Bathurst is actually a public road. So you can drive the road. And of course, obviously not when race day is on or anything like that. But if you happen to be there when racing is not happening, it is a public road and you can actually drive the circuit. And there's actually people's houses that come off the road itself, which are, they're obviously all boarded. The road is closed for them while the race is on. So we also have the National Motor Racing Museum based at Mount Panorama in Bathurst. We had a visit there. There's a lot of cars, past cars of the era of, there was stuff from the 1960s and 70s and 80s. And there was a number of Peter Brock's cars, who he actually won the race 9 times in his lifetime before he was tragically killed. So part of the circuit was actually open when we arrived, when we went to the National Motor Racing Museum. And so we were able to drive up Pitt Strait, and that took us up to the top of the mountain. We weren't able to drive completely to the top because camping, people were arriving for camping, which is another part of the mountain. You don't actually realise that actually on the Sunday of the race day itself, there was over 240,000 people on site, but they are spread out all over a large area. So it's from the top of the mountain right down to the bottom, and they've increased the amount of camping ground or facilities for camping. So it makes it interesting. So, yeah. Right. So basically there's a lot of activity around. If you arrive the day before, you can see a large number of people are starting to arrive camping, and the racing organisations are also starting to arrive as well. So we didn't spend all day there. We went back into Bathurst and we found a great pub called the Family Hotel, and they were doing $10 lunches. So a standard $10 Australian, I think it was a T-bone steak with a bit of salad and chips for $10, which was good value. So we kept on going back there for lunch. It was really good. So that was in Bathurst itself. And then we just did a little bit of touring. So we would then head back to Orange in the afternoon, but we would normally not go back the same way. The first day, on the Thursday, again, we went back to Bathurst. And, of course, Super Cheap Autos is the main sponsor. So they have the biggest tent, and there are some real good bargains there of Bathurst-type memorabilia of stuff to buy that has Bathurst written all over it. So really good. The other thing to do as well is, depending on how you sort of feel, is if you're a Holden supporter, then definitely head to Bathurst Holden and they will sell you a number plate surround. The number plate surround is slightly different in measurements. It does look like it will fit a New Zealand number plate, but you'll have to alter or add a little bit of their plates are narrower than ours, so you need to make it a bit wider. So anyway, it will fit, and you can have your Holden with Bathurst Holden on it. Right, so the main 2 days, Thursday and Friday, are qualifying, and you have different types of cars, not just the Bathurst cars running. So you have the Utes, Holden Utes and Toyota Utes and racing, and then you'll also have Porsche, the Porsche series is also, they'll have the heats as well, and then you'll also have practice runs for the V8s of the Holdens and the Fords, and Nissan is also based as well there. Friday is the final races for the Porsches and also the Utes, and then you have the shootout, which is for the pole position for the top 10, and that normally starts around about 5 o'clock or 4:30 in that afternoon segment, and that's basically the fastest car around the track gets pole position on the on big race day. Right, so the big race is obviously on the Sunday, and that's the big climatic end to the whole weekend. So you can buy a 4-day pass, or you can buy just a day pass, but it's best to buy the 4-day pass because it's relatively cheap enough. Buy a pit pass as well. It gets you into the centre part as well, and you can walk around the pits, and you can see through the pits, and you can do that all day, every day of the race. There's no restriction on race day as well. We normally sit opposite at the sort of the western end of the straight of Pitt Strait, and on this race we were just sitting on the straight when Jamie Wincup's front tyre came off, and we seen that bouncing down the Pitt Strait. So that's where we basically sit. We've done the stands before, we've sat in the stands before. This year we chose to do something a bit different, and we went and sat on the grass, and we brought some chairs from Kmart in Orange, and they cost $5 each. So we were able to do that. Had to be relatively early to get a good spot, but people move around, and so spots can become available. And so you just sort of base yourself there. There's lots of food available. Suntan lotion is a must, but we did have a little bit of rain. And you just sit and watch the event. I also brought a small radio, because there is a radio announcement of what's going on, so you can see on a big screen the whole race, and then you can see the cars coming past you, and have a radio. So because when the cars come past you, you can't hear any commentary at all. And so I had a small radio, which was awesome, you know, and it just you sort of got a better idea of what was going on. This year, Craig Lowes won the race, and he was actually, it was a big event for him because he's also announced his retirement. So he's no longer the main driver for his racing team, but he will be still involved. So that was quite, I would say, quite an emotional moment for a lot of people. And then Scott McLaughlin, I think he came second, and that was the last year of the Ford Falcon, which is now going to be replaced with the Ford Mustang. So that was a really interesting sort of event. So it was quite an sort of emotional time for Holden people and for Ford people. But overall, the whole event is well worth it. Of course, you have to be a bit of a petrol head or be interested in car racing. It is a well-organised event. So it's, yeah, I really enjoyed it. There's a lot to do around the whole area as well. So even like what I said before, we were doing stuff in the morning and then doing other non-Bathurst stuff in the afternoon. So definitely have a look around. We'll definitely be doing it again. We're going back again in 2020. Our company basically does it every second year. So, I enjoyed it and definitely going back. Thank you for listening to the show, and we'll see you or listen to you next time.
Cactus and heat, down travel style alleyways of washing nations, a ghost heavy man.